Easter morning is one of those really lovely services when you're a priest, because it's a bit like the pressure's off. You may have noticed a little bit that we've all kind of relaxed, because Holy Week is a little bit intense, and intentionally so. We travel through these 3 days, which are known as the Triduum, where we literally kind of live out the story. I mean, in monastic traditions, a lot of the monks would have fasted from the evening of Maundy Thursday all the way through to the vigil, which would have been last night. And a lot of the monks didn't quite make it through the whole of the vigil until they started fainting and things. And of course, that's a very good and strong commitment, but we don't quite do that. But when we get to Easter Sunday, it's a bit like, whew, okay, we're here, we're done. He's risen. We remember that again, and we can come and we can worship. And it's lovely to be gathered together with familiar faces and new faces to come and worship in such a beautiful place. And it's the little things. It's like last night we put the shroud over the cross. That always, whenever I come in here, that always touches me, the cross. And I don't know if you notice the lights, the way that there's actually three crosses at the end. Come and have a look. And it's those little things that kind of touch us in these times. Indeed, the Marys that came to the tomb, and I so apologize to those who joined us last night. I reread last night's gospel, partly because we're in year A and very much following Matthew, and secondly, just because it sort of fitted with what I'm going to say. But the Marys come, and obviously we know Mary Magdalene. We don't know who the other Mary was. You can have a think about that over your roast potatoes at lunch. There's several theories, but we're not exactly sure. And there's only two of them. And again, we remark and reflect on the importance that in a society that was heavily male orientated, it's two women who come to the tomb. It's two women who begin this whole message that we're still reflecting on today. I mean, that in itself is quite an astonishing thing. And in a time when we've just consecrated a female Archbishop of Canterbury, something that I sort of hoped would happen, but never actually thought it would happen. I didn't think Canterbury would be it. I thought York might be a female. But I didn't think Canterbury would. And it's a wonderful, great thing. That symbol that our church has said, this is what we do. We're remembering the fact that the first people who met Jesus were women. And we are still talking about it today. And that is such a strong and powerful thing. Matthew's gospel, in a sense, his reflection of the resurrection is very small. I mean, it's only that sort of one, those few verses. I mean, this monumental thing that has happened, this start of the new creation. Actually, Matthew only really talks about it very briefly, although, of course, it's the whole of his gospel that frames it. So it's quite short and sweet. And we see the Marys, they come to see the tomb. They don't come to mourn. They've not brought spices, as some of the other gospels tell us. They haven't really come to do anything. They've just come to see the tomb. And as we reflect on that, maybe we can think that they have come because they know that something is going to happen. They have come to see Jesus. They have heard Jesus' teaching that he will die and then on the third day he will rise again. And they've come on the third day because they believe. They're the only one of his disciples who heard the same message who actually believed. And now they're here at the tomb. And there's an earthquake. I mean, that doesn't seem, I've never been in an earthquake. I don't know if anyone in here has, but I would think it is probably a pretty scary thing. certainly one that's enough to move rocks. But again, the Marys, as far as Matthew tells us, that doesn't seem to disturb them. It's almost as though they expected something monumental to happen. An angel appears and sort of sits on the rock. I mean, that in itself is a kind of almost satirical thing, isn't it? You know, there's this rock that's covered, that symbolically has stopped anyone going in and anyone coming out. This huge thing that probably would have needed several soldiers to move it, and yet it's just been moved out of the way, and this single angel just sort of sat on it. It's almost like God saying, that's what I think of this rock. I'm just going to sit on it and show you that there's nothing inside. None of that seems to faze the Marys, because I would suggest that they have come not really knowing what was going to happen, but kind of expecting something to happen, because they believed. They heard the message and they believed. In a similar sense, that you've all gathered here today because there is a message that you either have heard or you want to hear and you want to believe. Whether you know that or not, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, you've been brought here for a reason. God has brought you here for a reason. And what's wonderful is that when the Marys see their Lord, what they do is they worship him. They hold on to his feet and they go into an act of worship. And that's a wonderful reminder for us that if nothing else, through all the differences and turmoils that are going on in our lives, the one thing that we can do is believe and then worship. There's one thing that struck me actually reading and reflecting on this gospel this morning, is actually how very often we hold those two things of difficulties and troubles and joy and worship together so closely. And indeed, in Holy Week, those two things do sit side by side together. Sort of pain and joy kind of do ride together, even through Good Friday, where, you know, we meditate on an awful thing, someone dying. Even within there, there's a sort of sense of hope and joy, and those two things hold very closely together. And in a sense, it's through our worship, it's through our gathering, it's through our celebration, it's through our singing, it's through our reflecting that holds that together. And so on this Easter, again, as we remember, and we'll remember, we'll do it again next year. I was remarking last night, who said, I forgot to do something, or say at the end, and I said, well, don't worry, because we'll do it again next year. And then we both sort of reflect on the fact we'll probably forget next year anyway, because it's a long way. And in that sense, we meet Easter anew each year. You know, as clergy, we do Easter every year, but as clergy, we learn something new each year. And I hope that this morning you do as well. But if nothing else, reflect on the Marys who have come because they believe. And then they've come because they want to worship. Amen.